You know, we've received quite a few dreams that point to the direction of a great earthquake at the time of the man-child's anointing. And even paralleling it to Jesus' resurrection, we know that when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. And we know that when he was resurrected, there was a great earthquake. And we've also received dreams that it appears that there's 3 days between the East Coast earthquake and the New Madrid earthquake, which would likely line up with Jesus' resurrection or the man-child's resurrection. The Lord likes to repeat history. And so we've had several dreams that pointed to a domino effect from the East Coast to the West. And the East Coast being a great earthquake 3 days later, or something like that. The West Coast, a greater earthquake. And then it jogs back to the Tennessee Valley and at the same time goes to the West Coast. So anyway, that's what we've received in dreams, and we've had a couple of confirmations of it. And from what I've been able to understand, the Craton is drifting constantly towards the west. And of course, any stress relieving out there in the west could start this ball rolling in the east. So anyway, we had this. It was actually Rob Miller that pointed this out to us first, that there was a great gas release over on the West Coast. And this giant CO, or carbon monoxide, and also sulfur dioxide release was possibly forecasting a West Coast earthquake, which historically could come from a few days to up to a month later. In other words, this is a sign that has happened before earthquakes, and it would happen from a few days to a month before the earthquake actually happened. A precursor, in other words. So anyway, when we discovered this, we sent it out to the brethren on our E-list that live on the West Coast, just to warn them to keep their eyes open and seek the Lord and see what the Lord would say to them. Anyway, this giant CO emission could be a precursor to something big coming. This CO gas showed up in just 3 hours on the 25th of February. And within 3 hours, it went from not noticeable to extreme. And it's very clear to the people who are doing the research that it came out of the earth from Southern California to Alberta, Canada. So, and of course, the government came out with a bunch of goofy stuff. They reported that it came from forest fires, which is ludicrous to say the least. I watched the videos. I watched the Dutch Sense, by the way, pointing out very clearly the circle around volcanoes individually where it was coming out, fracking sites where it was coming out, pumping stations where it was coming out. Other videos that say that the people doing the research say that it's coming out of other cracks in the earth, you know, around fault lines and so on and so forth, like the San Andreas, the Melones, and Elsinore faults are spewing it out. Any place where there is a hole in the earth, it seems to be coming out. And so it really has nothing to do with forest fires. There's no mentionable forest fires out there. So it's not a big deal. And it would take a lot to do what we've seen there It came up so suddenly, and it came up, like I said, the first part, it came up down in middle to southern California, and then it started coming up, which, by the way, it seems like possibly a 4-point-something earthquake may have set the thing off. But also, then it started coming up north. It didn't drift north. It started coming out of the earth north all the way up to Canada. So this is just laughable, you know, the stuff that they come up with to try to do. I'm going to read a couple of articles to you. Okay, this is carbon monoxide spikes to 40,000 plus, where usual is only 150 on the west coast. May signal coming massive earthquake. And, well, I'm looking at the pictures here, of course, which I've seen on video in real time. And, you know, from Southern California all the way up to Canada, you see this very dark, dark purple. Now, it was very obvious that after it had set there a while, the winds picked it up and started moving it across the country. You could see that, you know. I'm looking at the original back on, not the original, but back on, let's see. This article was written on February the 27th. It says, unprecedented and dangerous levels of carbon monoxide are being released into the atmosphere from seismic faults. The levels are so bad that they are dangerous. People on the West Coast may find that they are having trouble breathing and feel strangely tired. Some folks may notice the, and of course I want to say that it has drifted off, so the sign has come and gone. Okay, and why I call it a sign is because historically this has happened before earthquakes. And it came and it went. So it came and it went this time. So keep that in mind. What I'm reading here was real time at that time, you know. So they could be feeling at that time, they could have been feeling at that time the signs of carbon monoxide poisoning. Scientists are working feverishly to try to determine the cause, but they say consensus is quickly developing. The Earth itself is emitting this gas, and it is being released into the atmosphere via seismic fault lines, cracks in the Earth's surface where tectonic plates rub together. If levels continue to rise, as they presently are, people could be overcome or pass out and die from this. Well, fortunately, if it happened, we don't know about it, and we probably never will. So, but it didn't last for that long. So, but it was much larger than anything that they'd seen before. It says, as of 11 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on the 27th of February, 2016, there is no other place on the entire planet with carbon monoxide levels this bad or this widespread. It's completely unprecedented. Well, I'll read you the government's idea, you know, of the forest fires and also their operator error from the satellite. They say they can go back and straighten the satellite out and give you the correct. Oh, I'm sure that they can, but I don't believe it. And actually, here's a live feed here of what's happening there. And so it says, to give you an indication of how rare and how severe this is, take a look at the screenshots below. So I can fortunately do that, but we'll of course post these so that you can go and look at them yourself if you're on internet. I do share some things because there's a lot of people that join us by phone and they don't join us by internet and they don't have access to internet. So it's good to be able to tell people so that they can go to the Lord and ask the Lord what he wants of them, especially if they live in that very broad area of the West Coast there where this gas is being released. And again, it's not the gas that's the most dangerous. It's what could follow it and what has followed it historically. So we look at that too. In this location, surface level carbon monoxide, and he's pointing to, oh, I would say mid to southern California there, is 40,113 in an area where the usual level is around 150. So they got that picture. And then to the next one, it says, in this location, surface level carbon monoxide is 27,121 in an area where the usual level is around 150. And, of course, they just went a little bit further south, and they got the arrow on that. Okay. And then, just to show you, it says, compare the reading above to a different area below, circled outside the bloom, which means outside the gas area, just to the east of the gas area, and you'll see barely any reading at all, 123. Okay, so yes, we can see that. So he's just trying to give you some proof here of what's going on. Dutch Sense, in his video, actually drew a little closer up in the north and on up into Canada and pointed out where you could see it coming out of a volcano. There's no forest fire in the middle of a volcano. And there were these little puffs around these volcanoes where you could see very clearly that that's where it's coming from, you know. So they're just flat out lying as usual. They'd rather lie than tell you the truth. According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, because CO is odorless, colorless, and otherwise undetectable to the human senses, people may not know that they are being exposed. The initial symptoms of low to moderate CO poisoning are similar to the flu, but without the fever. And they include headache, fatigue, shortness of breath, nausea, dizziness. Again, I don't think this is a big problem right now. I haven't looked today, actually, but I don't think this is a problem right now. I think the sign that points to this has come and gone, but it points to something. And, of course, it gets more severe. Mental confusion, vomiting, loss of muscular coordination, loss of consciousness, and ultimate death. It can get that bad. But usually, it would have to stick around for a while. Symptom severity is related to both the CO level and the duration of exposure. For slowly developing residential CO problems, occupants or physicians can mistake mild to moderate CO poisoning symptoms for the flu, which sometimes results in tragic deaths. Yes, it does. Anyway, I'm going to jump on down through that, so I think you got the idea. Carbon monoxide, of course, is from burning combustibles, and when it comes out of the earth, most likely it's from volcanic activity down in the earth that is burning the earth, and it's in the shale. And it moves through the shale, and so on and so forth. But anyway, here's a point that they make here. It's not man-made. It is important to emphasize that this bloom of carbon monoxide is not man-made. It is not possible for human activity to cause this type of staggering increase over such an enormous area. And I might add, I watched on one video that in a matter of 3 hours, it was like from nothing to extreme. There was no forest fire that could have done that, and it didn't come from any forest fire. So it's almost like the planet itself is attacking the people out there, even though it would be absurd to think that the planet would attack anyone. Well, there is a curse on the earth, and we're going to see lots of people die from that curse. Why such an emission of deadly carbon monoxide would suddenly spew forth from inside the earth is unknown at this time, but it is clear, and of course I'm going to share some other things with you that is known, so, but it is clear on its face that in order for this to be taking place, something changed underground on a continental scale. Something moved or cracked along the entire west coast of North America. It doesn't have to. It can travel through the shale, but coming out at places where it normally would come out, volcanoes, any kind of hole in the ground, cracks, fault lines, etc. You know, that's where it's coming out. That's the only logical explanation for this event and what it means for the future. We just don't know. Well, here's a little bit of science for you. Carbon monoxide may signal earthquake. Earth emits a burst of carbon monoxide, that's CO, a few days before an earthquake, according to geophysicist Ramesh Singh, pictured left. He and his co-workers from France and the United States report that this gas could be used as one of the precursor signals for an earthquake early warning system. And they've known this for quite a while. They don't make it well known because they don't want you to know about anything, actually. The scientists used data from an American satellite and analyzed changes in carbon monoxide at different altitudes. The carbon monoxide shows enhancement in concentration a few days prior to the earthquake, Singh said. Singh, who was formerly with the Indian Institute of Technology in Kanpur, is currently in the physics department of Chapman University in California. The project was funded by the Indo-French Center for the Promotion of Advanced Research in New Delhi. The researchers discovered the connection between CO emission and earthquakes by analyzing satellite remote sensing data collected around the time when a 7.6 magnitude earthquake shook Gujarat in West India 9 years ago, killing about 20,000 people and rendering thousands homeless. Singh said that CO levels were taken by an instrument on board NASA's Terra satellite, launched in 2009, circling the Earth in a polar orbit at a height of 705 kilometers. The instrument measures CO concentrations of different heights at different heights and also captures the total amount of the gas in a vertical column of air above the Earth's surface. So it's a pretty technical instrument, able to do all this and able to tell the difference between a forest fire and something coming out of the Earth, too. Analysis of the satellite data showed a large peak in CO concentrations during January 19th and 20th. That's of this one that happened over in India. A week before the main earthquake event. So in this case, it took a week. Okay, I'm going to share another one with you a little later that it took about a month. Singh here's idea at the time that he, shared all this was that it would be a few days to a week. Okay, but we've got one that we know of that took a month. So in this case, it was a week before the main earthquake event. On January the 19th, the total CO in the vertical column was also higher than usual. And after the 26th of January, the earthquake, the concentrations of the gas dropped. So the sign came and it went, which is exactly what's happened this time. Okay. If it was a week, I think it would be something like today or tomorrow, maybe, if it was a week. If it was going to have done it in a week, okay? According to the scientists, CO gas is forced out of the Earth due to the buildup of stress prior to the earthquake, influencing the hydrological regime around the epicenter. Singh said an anomalous increase in land surface temperature a few days prior to Gujarat earthquake, as inferred from the data of NASA's other satellite, MODIS, M-O-D-I-S, is also related to the CO emission. The increase of column CO and concentrations of CO may have enhanced the land surface temperature, he said. In other words, CO would make it hotter, you know. The anomalous changes in CO concentrations prior to the main earthquake event and enhancement of temperature of the Earth's surface observed from MODIS satellite data give an indication of coupling between land and atmosphere, the scientists report. Singh said observation by other researchers of a sudden increase in water vapor in the atmosphere and changes in the ionosphere a few days prior to the Gujarat earthquake all seem to be connected. Well, you can imagine that if the earthquake is due to molten lava and connecting with water, you'd have steam, right? Moving places that it hasn't been for a while, maybe, you know, you'd have steam too. In this case, there was a buildup of sulfur. There is a buildup of sulfur dioxide on the West Coast, along with the CO, carbon monoxide. Both of those are, you know, can come from volcanic activity. According to the report, all these observations, including the latest discovery of CO emission, show the existence of a strong coupling between land, atmosphere, and ionosphere. The integration of all these parameters in a seismically active region therefore looks a potential approach to understand earthquake processes and may provide reliable information about an impending earthquake, the researchers concluded. Another thing, I mean, the only place that the satellite was showing it was in seismic areas. Now, I mean, they just happened to have forest fires that day in seismic areas? No, they didn't. So it's just a big lie. And they figure most people will accept it because it comes from the government. Of course, we trust the government, right? And an update, a second story has been done on this to update readers on present conditions as of March the 1st, and reveals other places have had terrifying and deadly earthquakes within about a week of such similar events. So I will go over to that. Okay, let's see. And the name of this one was actually Superstation 95 News. It says, concerns of major West Coast earthquake grows as San Andreas, Melones, and Elsinore faults spew more carbon monoxide. So they know, you can tell where it's coming from. It's not coming from forest fires or even a mistake on the satellite. Updated with NASA statement as of 8:20 p.m. on March the 1st, 2016. Beginning on February the 26th, NASA satellites in space began detecting staggering large emissions of carbon monoxide gas along the West Coast from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, all the way south to San Diego, California. So, why, all along that very seismically active area, you know, would this be coming out today? And they're claiming it's forest fires. As evidenced by the satellite image below, the emissions were far too big, took place too fast, and too highly concentrated, and covered too vast an area to be man-made. Okay, I believe it. On the satellite image below, the areas in black, purple, and brownish-orange show the magnitude of the emissions. It was utterly massive. Yes, and it looks that way. Scientists quickly determined that the CO was coming up out of the Earth, being expelled out through seismic faults. Those scientists may have changed their mind by now. Somebody in the government's probably wised them up by now. But anyway, what this means is the Earth began moving in such a way on February the 26th that pressure along the fault lines became so great it expelled massive amounts of naturally occurring carbon monoxide gas from underground. Actually, it started on February the 25th because I actually looked. So it started before this. In fact, the proximity of the CO emissions directly aligns with what are known as the Monterey formations, which are shale formations holding oil and gas. The gas is contained within the shale rock, but is being squeezed so hard that the gas is being forced out. That's a lot of pressure to squeeze gas out from inside a rock. The Monterey formations appear on the image below in red. And yep, it's all the way up to California there. When pressure builds up like this, it's not hard to understand that something has to give. And when it does, there is an earthquake. That's why this emission of carbon Monoxide is believed by some scientists to be a warning sign of an impending large earthquake. The last time an emission of carbon monoxide on this scale took place was a week prior to the Gujarat earthquake, which devastated India, killing 20,000 people and destroying 400,000 homes when a 7.6 quake struck in January of 2001. Another quake, far worse in China in 1978, had similar emissions, which are detailed below. This one, I want to say that the signs came about a month before the earthquake. So, well, we'll read that too. Emission easing, but still spewing in several specific areas. After the initial emission of CO on February 26, again it was 25th, into the 27th, winds began to dissipate the CO and carry it eastward, and you can see that. You can see that the winds are taking it off from its spewing point, carrying it eastward, thinning it out as it traveled. And here's the satellite image from 12 noon Eastern U.S. time today, February the 29th, 2016. So it's still coming out of the Earth. You can see it where it's still coming out. The place is still coming out on the West Coast, but you can see it also drifting away, so it's not the great cloud that was to begin with. This easing of emissions can mean one of two things. The pressure has receded and the danger is less, or the pressure squeezed almost all the CO out, and there's simply not much left to push out, meaning the quake danger could still exist or be growing. Well, the habit is that this comes before the earthquake, so, and it always disappears before the earthquake, so it really doesn't, you know, make any difference. The simple fact is we just don't know, which is the correct answer, and the scientific knowledge does not yet exist to find out. I don't know about that. As you may notice, while the initial satellite image above clearly showed gas being emitted from the Cascadia subduction zone off the coast of Vancouver, now, if you remember, not that long ago I shared something about this. They were expecting a major earthquake there that would be bigger than anything San Andreas could do. But the thing that they were really worried about is that the two would go off together, along with other fault lines that we mentioned so far. And so the gas is coming out all the way across this whole zone, I mean all the way from north to south, which is what they were worried about would happen. Okay? So the Cascadia subduction zone off the coast of Vancouver, B.C., as well as Washington and Oregon in the United States, all the way down to San Diego, California. Three specific areas continue to spew large amounts of carbon monoxide to this day. These areas directly coincide with three major seismic faults: the San Andreas Fault, the Melones Fault, and the Elsinore Fault, as illustrated on the map below. So sorry, you can't see that, but like I said, when we post it, you can. Below is today's satellite image of the fault still emitting CO, as shown in the red circled areas below. The fact that some of this CO is emanating from the Melones Fault Zone is problematic. There is no Monterey Formation there. The fault abuts the Sierra Nevada Mountains. For a fault this far inland to be emitting CO while faults further to the west, like San Andreas, and south, like Elsinore, are also exhibiting this same activity, gives an indication of the utterly massive amount of tectonic pressure taking place and the enormous area being affected by this tectonic stress. If history is any indication of future activity, then as took place in India in 2001, at some point within the next 6 or 7 days, again, it could be like the China one, which was actually a month, there may be a major earthquake along one or more of these fault lines. This is not certain, so do not panic. Yeah, they're strictly going by history here as to what this could do. If we doubt that such gas emissions may be related to earthquakes and think perhaps that the gas emissions just prior to the 2001 quake in Gujarat, India, was a mere coincidence, bear in mind that India was not the only major quake where gas emissions took place in advance. China. No other earthquake in the 20th century was as catastrophic or claimed as many lives as that which struck the city of Tangshan in northern China on July 28, 1976. Tangshan, a thriving industrial city in Hebei province, is located about 95 miles east and slightly south of Beijing, and about 280 miles southwest of Haicheng, Liaoning province, where in February 1975 another very destructive earthquake had occurred. Although the region had experienced moderate seismic activity in the past, there was no foreshocks and no advance warning. They did have an advance warning, but they didn't know how to read it. Okay, now they do. But to them, there was no advance warning. So that was July 28, 1976. The epicenter of the earthquake occurred near the coast in Tangshan in Hebei province of northeastern China. Its epicenter was at 39.60 degrees north, and so on and so forth. Magnitude reported 7.8, later it revised to 7.6. Focal depth, shallow, 15 kilometers. There were no foreshocks or clear precursory phenomenon prior to the Tangshan earthquake, as there had been in other earthquake-stricken areas of China. However, more than half a month earlier, there had been a series of abnormal signs observed in the region of Beijing, Tianjin, and Tangshan, Bohai, Zhangkalu. Based on such signs, the State Seismological Bureau correctly concluded that a significant earthquake could be expected between July 27, 1976 and August the 5th. However, the precursory phenomenon differed from those of other earthquakes because of the scattered distribution of the signals. There was no determination of the location where this earthquake could strike. So, just prior to the earthquake, many unusual phenomena were observed in the immediate Tangshan region. There were observations of large amplitude variations of groundwater level and a strange animal behavior. As early as July the 12th, it was reported that gas began to discharge from a well in a village. That gas began to discharge through a well. In other words, another hole in the ground. On July the 25th and 26th, this discharge increased. The day before the earthquake, well water at another village reportedly rose and fell three times. And other wells showed signs of cracking of their lining. The death toll within seconds of the earthquake, thousands of people lost their lives or were trapped in debris. The actual death toll from this earthquake may never be known with certainty. According to official government accounts, the earthquake killed 242,769 people and severely injured another 169,851. However, based on the density of the population and the extent of destruction, these figures have been disputed. At the time, Tangshan had 1.6 million inhabitants. Since the earthquake destroyed 93% of all residential buildings, the death toll was estimated to be three times greater than what was reported, ranging from 655,000 to 779,000 people. No prediction, just common sense. This article is not a prediction or some sick hoax. It is a logical assessment of the facts that, as they are known, using data sources which are reputable, which form the basis of a logical conclusion. Quite simply, we have compiled this information and ask you, the reader, to apply common sense. There is no reason to panic, but there is reason to pay attention and think if maybe you should make some preparations just in case. We must emphasize that at present, modern science cannot accurately predict an earthquake. That's true. But there are precursors. We certainly do not claim to be able to do so and are not doing so. Having said that, it is undisputed that the last time this type of CO emission took place, 20,000 people were killed by a magnitude 7.6 earthquake in India. And the time before that, at least 242,000 were killed in a quake in China, where gas was emanating days in advance. Therefore, it seems prudent to us to publish this information so people throughout California can decide for themselves if emergency preparations are necessary. And then there's suggested preparations, and some of it's, you know, have canned food, have water, have gas for your vehicle, you know, these kind of things, what they're saying. And so, okay, let's see. Update, March 1st, 2016. 8:20 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, following important notice has been issued by NASA. And this is where they are trying to blow smoke. Important notice, the elevated carbon monoxide CO concentrations over California in the GO's five products since February 25, 2016 are incorrect. They are a consequence of unrealistic emissions derived from satellite observations of fires, which led to elevated concentrations of atmospheric CO as well as other species. And then they talk about their Terra spacecraft safe mode and how it could have been this and that and the other, and I don't believe a bit of it. Let me see. Just one problem. This statement makes no sense, it says. The statement issued by NASA makes no sense. Even if the satellite was placed into safe mode to be relocated, and even if the doors had been closed for that move, then reopened by NASA's own admission, the doors were reopened and the satellite put back in science mode on February the 24th. The readings which we published were effective 3 days later on February the 27th. Does NASA expect the world to believe that the instruments aboard their state-of-the-art satellite could not stabilize in 3 full days? Further, the readings dissipated smoothly across the continental United States and continue to do so since February the 28th. If NASA's claim that the instruments were not stabilized, then how can they explain the completely smooth and natural dissipation of the CO gas in accordance with prevailing wind patterns and over the course of several more days? It seems to us that if the satellite was unstable, that when it stabilized, there would be a sudden discernible shift in its readings. And this is not the case. Nope, they're just flat out lying. Next, the contention for the reading for the fire radioactive power seems to imply that wildfires burning on the West Coast may have impacted the satellite reading. But there are no massive wildfires on the West Coast, which would even come close to affecting the enormous area reflected by the CO emissions captured by the satellite. Superstation 95 goes to great lengths to publish news that the mass media does not, so as to inform readers in a responsible manner. Let's see. I'm going to skip one down so I can talk about something else here. We'll give these articles and Dutch Census article and Rob Miller's, you know, got a very good thing that he sent us first that got us to looking about the science behind this precursor. Very good article. And a 4-minute video of this sudden CO release on February the 25th from almost zero to extreme in 3 hours, and it appears to be coming from all of the Earth. And then, let me say this, Gordon just sent in, Gordon Bornman just sent in this dream from his wife on the day the CO emission started, February 25th, 2016, in his area of the West Coast. And he's 406 feet above sea level, but the dreams from the past speak of the coast sinking. So here it is. My wife's dream about tsunami slash flood, Gordon Bornman. And he sent this on the 26th. My wife had a dream last night about a tsunami and flood. The dream happened on the same date as, number one, I had previously calculated would be the end of the grace period for America based on other prophetic words. Number two, the same day as the gas blew over the West Coast. But I didn't know about the blowout until Sunday 2/28. Okay. We were in a house near a coast, but we could not see the coast at all. Might mean that we are inland by some miles. The house was not our current house, which leads me to believe that this is for the larger body as well as us. We also have no bridge nearby, which was recognized there. We never saw a tall tsunami wave front. The water started rushing in and pushing debris in its wake. So water just started coming in, not necessarily a large wave. Stray animals were coming to us. German Shepherd and another brown-white dog representing, he says he believes that they might be representing lost mankind who in no different than a beast, as in Ecclesiastes, and or representing other Christians who have gone astray from the Father, looking for an escape from the water. Okay, water rushes through our house and starts a fire when it hits the electricity and the gas lines as the stoves are ripped from their positions. Note that inland a few miles from the coastline, the people in Fukushima never saw a tall wave front either. The water just started flooding into the streets and through the buildings and houses. So if you're very far from shore, you don't see that big wave. It gets broken down pretty quickly, but the level of the water can be pretty bad. But again, I point out to you that a lot of the dreams and visions that we've had point out that what's going to happen on the West Coast is it's going to sink. So the high levels above the sea level may not count. She can see a bridge nearby, and the water rushes in, and the bridge crumbles. Gordon said, my wife did not mention any earthquake before in the dream, and this may confirm a tsunami on the coastlines. And, you know, it's possible a quake could have happened offshore under the water and a tsunami came, or the land actually sank as in prior dreams. He said, I had had a dream in September of 2006 about large waves. In that dream, our house was built upon the rock up about 30 to 40 feet from the water level above. He puts in parentheses here, above the curse. Okay, the waves of water came up to our doorstep but did not come into the house. And then he puts Psalm 91. Yeah, well, that's what you need to claim no matter where you are, right? That was a promise of protection to my wife and I. There was no earthquake associated with that dream either. This dream, however, shows the water destroying the house this time. This is a warning to get our house in order, or we will also be overtaken in the coming judgments. The bridge was a way of escape, or a bridge to God, and that too will be cut off. This morning, after hearing this dream, I repented right away of sin I was having trouble with this week, and I understood the warning very clearly. Saints, if you're dabbling in sin, you need to stop it now. Turn to the Lord and repent of it now. As David has warned recently, the inspection of the saints is coming soon, and as to who will be in the bride body. The Lord did not wait to warn me or us. Okay, the same day, 2/25/16, that the CO warning is released from the earth, also is the last day of grace for the United States, in a revelation that a prophetic revelation that Gordon put together. Gordon watches our prophetic revelations and timings and things like that a lot. He said, I've been putting together some past prophetic words on timing. The conclusion of these three words is that tomorrow, February the 25th, 2016, is the last date that I can discern about the end of the five-month period of grace, prophesied by Doug Addison on August the 17th, 2015. I hope this helps. Whether anything happens tomorrow, which, of course, he wrote this on the 24th, so I do not know. Did you notice that the Federal Reserve prime rate was at zero from December the 16th, 2008 to December 16th, 2015? Exactly 7 years to the day. I do not believe in mere coincidence anymore. God often uses time periods of months or years calculated exactly to the day. Okay, here's a prophetic word of 5 months of grace. Gordon Borman, his note, 2/24/16. 5 months after this is prophesied, it is released January the 16th, 2016, when another prophecy, Rachel Baxter's, given January the 4th, 2016, says the famine begins. Up through August 2015, the key date was 9/23/15, and 5 months after that, 2/23/16, the end of the grace period. But God delayed the new moon sighting to start the year on 9/15/15, 2 days later, therefore setting 9/23/15 back to 9/25/15. 5 months after that is 2/25/16, February the 25th, the date we're in question here. The last date for the end of the grace period that I can discern right now. 5 months of grace by Doug Addison, August 17, 2015. He said, we are coming to a tipping point that will be here from August through September over the next few months. Things will be established in your life, even though it may not be a crystal clear just, or may not be crystal clear just yet. God is revealing His hidden plans for you. Expect to see rapid changes begin to take place. You will need to battle through discouragement, attacks against relationships, and your health. The enemy is continuing to overplay his attacks against many people. This is because there is a powerful breakthrough coming for those who stand through the storms. There will be a greater level of repayment coming for those who make it through the season. Prophetic dreams will continue to increase. Of course, they certainly have. An unusual amount of wisdom and favor is being released right now. The humility is a key, he says. There is power in being humble. The spirit of pride has been disguising itself as righteous anger in many people. As you humble yourself, even if you were right, God will defend you and lift you up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. So true. Righteous indignation is a lot of self-righteousness. Attack on strategic people. If you or someone you know has been under attack by the enemy, then there is a good chance that you are a strategic person in the kingdom of God. The enemy is trying to take out those who will be a part of this new move of God that's coming. I agree. Those on the front lines have been suffering from burnout, repeated attacks from the enemy, sicknesses, and discouragement. And I might add, faction. Okay? The enemy is trying to take out those who have been battling and doing the work for the kingdom. The only way to get through this attack is to pull back and get a new strategy. Those who stay on the front lines right now in the midst of this battle are in danger of being taken out. It does not mean that you have to step out of what you are doing. Instead, step back and regroup, increase your intercession, get a new plan, and in many cases, people need to establish new associations. 5 months of grace. There is a release of 5 months of grace to get into God's timing. Starting now through the first part of the 2016, God is releasing His timing and he is repositioning people for something bigger that is coming. The source of the enemy's attacks is going to be revealed over the next 5 months. God is going to reveal the strategic attacks from the enemy that have been holding people down and keeping them from advancing. Well, very much like we have discovered how many people are in captivity to the faction movement thing. If you have been seeing a repeated cycle of defeat or discouragement in your life, then this prophetic word is for you. You will need to exercise God's wisdom. There is power and favor in resting and regrouping. The next 5 months will be a strategic time to gain deeper understanding about your situation. In October, there will be a release of new assignments, and angelic help will come to move you swiftly into your calling. Destinies will be revealed. This is a time to plan long. And it goes on, but I'll just have to leave that for you, including a revelation about raising up the Josephs by Rachel Baxter and so on and so forth. You'll have to read that off site. I don't have time today to do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We ask you to protect your people. We ask you, Lord, to move your people when necessary, to protect them supernaturally when necessary. We thank you, Father, for the warnings that you give us. I believe this is certainly a sign, this coming at the end of the days of grace there, this sign of a future earthquake, possibly. And, Father, so we just ask you, Lord, I know in some cases people are not willing to move, or their spouse is not willing to move, and they don't really believe. But that doesn't mean that the person who is a believer is at the mercy of that situation. We just ask you, Lord, we know that you are the mighty God and you have mighty angels, and that they will protect your elect out there, lest they even dash their foot against a stone, like Psalm 91 says. So, Father, we're just putting our trust in you to bless our brethren. Lord, we sent out to the E-list as many people as we were listed on the West Coast. That may have changed quite a bit. So we decided to do this today. And so we just ask you, Lord, that the people out there, if they know someone, that they'll be able to reach them and let them know that we have had this sign, and to seek the Lord, find out what the Lord wants to be done with their lives. We thank you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for protecting your people. And Lord, you've shown us many, many things over a long period of time in dreams and visions and revelations and words from the Scripture about these things that are coming. And I believe this is just another sign that, yes, it is indeed coming, and that this thing on the West Coast may come in a couple of weeks, it may come in a month, it may whatever. And what could come before it? Well, possibly the other earthquakes could come before it. I don't know. Or maybe it will be a tsunami and a stress relieving, so that the craton can move further west and cause a chain reaction there, a domino effect there from east to west. Who knows? I don't know. But at any rate, Lord, we know you're under control. I trust in you, Lord, what you have shown to us, and I do believe it's the word of the Lord. So we thank you for warning us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for having us at the right place at the right time and not in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name.